Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Leadership from the Heart. Today, we're joined by Rob Leong, a professor of human resource development at Idaho State University. He's the co-founder of Black River Performance Management and has over 20 years' experience in workplace culture, leadership development, and performance improvement. Rob is recognized as an expert in building people-centered workplace systems. He collaborates with executives and future HR leaders to enhance leadership practices and drive strategic success. He's guided by the belief that work should fuel the human spirit. And I love that. Rob brings evidence-based insights and helps organizations create thriving, engaging teams. Let's start with diving into his expertise and learn how to elevate workplace performance. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Good morning. I feel wonderful. How about you?
I feel wonderful as well. Thank you for being here. So I first want to dive into human behavior because I love psychology and I love human behavior. And so I would love to know, like, what is one of the biggest, let's start with like a misconception. Let's throw a loop here about how people operate within organizations and how can leaders better address that misconception?
There's so many misconceptions. Can we start with one personal misconception?
Absolutely.
Sure. So I've been thinking about this a lot lately. So the concept of whose truth is this?
Mm.
And so our company has a number of tenants, and our tenants are perspectives that we ground our frameworks and practices in. And one of the tenants is perception does not equal reality.
Okay.
And despite, you know, and
I love it.
You know, because think about it, what were we raised with, right? That concept of perception is reality. That's her perception. Therefore, that's her reality. And I think we've come beyond that, like as adults in the workforce, like for my teenage kids, sure, it makes sense. And it still generally makes sense, but I challenge that notion because if you can reflect that your perception is not actually what's going on in the real world in many instances, you begin to recognize how small you are. And you know, that concept of that speck. And there's a bit of humility that occurs at that point, that when I realize that, look, if I don't come back to work tomorrow, they're just going to find someone else to sit in the seat, right? And we talk about this, and people have a hard time with this because it's a major paradigm shift for them. But as they start to accept it, they kind of slide back and they start becoming more aware of their environment and people around them. And that's how that concept of whose truth is this factors into this, because sometimes we just double down sometimes, right? Right now, we double down a lot in a variety of different areas. And the misconception in the workplace that ties to this is when one person communicates with the other, the misconception is they assume that they've had an effective communication experience. And people are so different and variable and complex and messy for a very beautiful reason, right? Emotions and shifts in behavior, because life's going on. I could come in this morning, have a great morning, and then I get a phone call that, you know, sabotages my energy. And I'm a different person at that point. So I think a misconception is you just stand in front of people and you lead and you direct and you inspire and you give them vision. And it's a very cute concept that's very linear. And I think we find a lot of comfort in things that are linear, but people are complicated.
Yeah.
You yourself as the leader that's trying to cast the vision is complicated.
Yeah.
And so that's my misconception, I think, is that we can't show up the same way for everyone. And I can't even necessarily show up the same way for you all day the same way, because we need a dance, right? As a leader, I need to recognize that my people might not have the language to articulate what's truly going on with them. So I need to be aware of what, you know, essentially makes you tick, what's important to you, what's relevant right now in terms of work, what's relevant right now in terms of your own personal life that you're willing to share in that environment, right? Everyone discloses at a different level. And to me, it's just a level of, you know, embracing our humanity and, you know, leading from the heart, that we have this flexibility that when we would talk to companies and organizations, they have a hard time with this. They want it to be very linear. They want leadership to be like a task on their job description.
Yeah.
That's pretty clear. And it's not. And yeah. And it's because we work with people. We can't even lead ourselves well. Let's be honest.
Thank you. Right? Thank you. Yes.
So let's complicate it and put 15 other people in this room with us, right?
Right. Yeah, I agree. And I want to add that, like, the perception is reality. It's never sat right in my spirit, if I'm being honest. You know, I hear people say it, and I probably have said it myself, knowing that, like, that's not necessarily true, because the person sitting next to you could have a totally different experience. And I want to caution people on, you know, finding the people who have the same reality, because it just helps you double down on your conscious bias, right? So I actively seek out other people's opinions to see if this is not your reality and it's mine, what am I doing different? You know, and so I encourage people and I caution people to go seek out like other people's opinions and not just the people who are in the mud with you, because being in the mud sucks. And you're going to find a lot of people in the mud if you want to, or you can find people that are outside of it and feeling really, really good about themselves. So,
yeah,
you know,
I think that's a great perspective. There's a level of self-work I think most of us, not all of us, most of us have to do to seek out those other perspectives and opinions.
Right? Yeah,
we have to be fine with whatever that other person says might offend us, upset us. And most of the time it doesn't. Like,
right.
we get so defensive to protect ourselves in terms of our concepts of identity and our ego. And so, I you know, good work on your part to seek that out, because that's what we want. That's what we need. We need that variety. We need that diversity. We need that different perspective. To help us accomplish things, because we need each other. And that's no more true than it is right now that we need each other right now.
Absolutely. And I do it selfishly, because I feel like when you seek it, it hurts less than when somebody just puts it on you and you weren't ready to accept it. And so, you know, I kind of go out and ask for it, because then I'm open to it, you know? And so, yeah, I love the fact that you brought that up. So can all managers lead?
You know, let's get to this by stepwise, right? Like, can all people do, right? Like that's at least when we're hiring someone for, and I always use the example marketing, and maybe it's because I know nothing about it, but if I'm hiring someone for marketing and they have a degree, I know that they have the craft, right? They have that foundational education. They might not be an expert, but they have some standardized language.
Mm-hmm.
They have a foundational education. They have all these things that makes them ready for that marketing position in terms of task completion. They still don't necessarily do it well, right? So you take that concept and translate it all the way, or shift it all the way to the manager perspective. You know, can managers lead? Sure, they absolutely can. You know, the classic debate, manager versus leader, is it born, is it developed, all this stuff. I think we get hung up in some of this because I don't think we necessarily know how to do some of it and talk about it in certain ways. And so it's easier, once again, it's very linear as a concept. So I think the best managers are leaders, and they balance the role of management and lead, right?
Right.
My role as a leader is to create the conditions for my team to be successful.
Right.
And that means I need to be able to look ahead, as well as remove barriers and obstacles before they even encounter them. Now, right. When they do encounter them, I need to be open and responsive and helpful. And a manager can do that. And also managers can just not do that also. And so we have leaders that aren't, you know, they're called leaders. They believe that they're leaders, but they're also not being necessarily as impactful. It's all, to me, it's all a range or a scale, right? It's a continuum in terms of how are we being impactful and performing the tasks and duties that are necessary for us to ultimately accomplish what's been assigned to us.
Yeah, I want to shift the question over a little bit. Do you think that organizations hire for the role of manager with that manager having direct reports and expecting them to lead without giving them the necessary tools? Okay, HR professional.
I think, you know, your front end of that question is so relevant to that conversation in general. What are we hiring here for?
That's it.
And let's be clear in terms of our screening and our onboarding and future supporting of that person. So I'm not caught up in titles, right? So leader, manager, whatever, yeah. Right? And how often do you see the word leader as the job title? It's usually manager, right?
Yeah, never. So,
but let's be a little bit more explicit in what we're expecting out of this. And of course, the next question is, are resources, not just financial, there to support what it is we hope that person to accomplish, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's, to me, language is one of the biggest factors in organizations. And it affects us in a variety of different ways. I usually talk about it in terms of you and I might have very different opinions. Actually, we would on pretty much every term we talk about, except for what's standard within our craft that we've been trained on, right? this is another example. You know, when someone crafts that job description, they have something in mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's touched by how many hands before it gets to the HR person.
Yeah.
And, you know, in some organizations, as we know, HR handles all the hiring and screening. Other organizations, HR is the, kind of the gatekeeper for the postings. It just depends. And so there's a lot of opportunity to lose the context and the intention behind the design. And that leaves a lot of unknowns. It could also be helpful if you're kind of flexible and creative as a leader. But what I find is a lot of leaders don't see themselves as leaders first, or even in their top maybe five identity factors, that leader is just a part of what they have to do. And because of that, there's a downriver consequence associated with that. And so the outcome of part of that is that we rely on the language what's on the document
right. To
be guidance. And good or bad, we don't think enough about it. I think what we do, what we do is like, hey, congratulations, you got the job, you qualified. Here's your leadership or manager badge. Mm-hmm. Here's the keys to the filing cabinet in the office. You got this. I believe in you.
Right.
And it's such a great way to set them up not to be successful.
110%. I'm actually going through something like that right now with a safety manager. And the job description has zero in there about how to influence a safety culture, right? It just says to promote it. And so he's doing a really good job promoting it and having zero influence because he doesn't know how to have influence. Right. And HR was just like, yeah, Roman, but it's expected. And I'm like, I understand that. Should we have said that from the beginning? I don't think he would have gone for it. Or we would have understood that there's a gap here that we need to help him fill within the first, whatever, 90, 180, whatever. Right? But here we are a year and a half in and he's struggling. Yeah. And now we're mad. We can't be mad.
At him.
At his inability to have influence.
Yeah, his inability to read our brain on something we didn't choose to add to the job
description. Exactly. And it's not his fault, you know? And so, you know, we do have grace, grateful. I'm so thankful that, you know, obviously as the leader, I have a lot of grace and we'll do everything we can, you know, and understand that this is partly our fault. And that's okay too. That's okay too.
But at least you have that awareness, right?
For sure.
And now you know, look, I need to I need a resource slightly different. I need to maybe try to procure some funds to do something that at least builds some foundational framework here.
Right.
And coach and mentor in a way that hopefully this works, or pair them up with someone.
Exactly.
You have that awareness. That's what I'm missing in a lot of situations, is that awareness. And then how do you prioritize that? You already have your full-time job. You're busy.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And also recognizing that as the leader, I may not speak his language the best, right? And I may need to outsource that. And to your point, point him in the direction of somebody that is going to speak his language so that he can develop that skill. And that's also okay. Just because you're the leader doesn't necessarily mean you have to be the one, you know?
Yeah. Well, so, we do this with our, you know, part of our kickoffs with our clients often is establishing a common foundational language around behaviors, communication, preferences, motives, and personality, so that at least we'll still split hairs over what the word motive might mean, but we are at least going through the same development frameworks together.
Right.
So we can use the tools to better understand exactly to your point. I might not speak their language, but
hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Maybe I could align better with them to kind of source and find solutions of this quicker.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Beautiful. So I did see that you've shared once that you saw yourself as this average Joe, even after achieving so much. And I think that this is true for a lot of us. A lot of us just see ourselves, and it's a very humbling and very grounded thing we need to do, you know, but you've earned like these advanced degrees and you've launched a business and you're helping shape the future of HR. So how did shifting your mindset impact your leadership and your ability to connect with others after you recognize that maybe, just maybe, you're not so average?
Right. Well, I think maybe we need to go back to the beginning. And this is my answer for the first question you asked, is that if we, for me, the problem with what I was thinking was that, hey, I'm just an average male, you know, it was probably up until probably about 40, just like my other males that come from similar backgrounds and walks of life. And the problem is that if I believe that, then I might treat the others similar to how I want to be treated, and also based on what I know and understand. But as you pointed out, like, I have a doctorate, and so that's not average. And so once I started to unpack that more, I realized, wait, I'm seeing the world through a set of lenses that's, at this point, based on what I've experienced and completed and failed, pretty refined, like in the sense of, I know some things. I don't know a lot of things, but I can't assume that people that I'm working with are showing up with the same set of glass lenses as I to look through this.
Sure.
I need to do a better job of recognizing that I can be just one of the average people, but I got to be careful not to use the lens and belief that other people will process the information I'm sharing with them. And that was really clear once with a client group, that when I started to talk about some terms, they're like, what do those words mean? I've never heard those words before. And it was really eye-opening to myself that, once again, I thought I was being average Joe, just giving the average information. And it became really clear. That was kind of the beginning of that journey of unpacking that. And so at one level, I don't want to feel above or different than anyone else. But at another level, I got to realize that if I am going to help people,
Yes.
I need to figure out how to connect with them in a way that they want to be connected with, in a language that they understand, so that I can help support them. And this is part of a large piece of our work when we're working with organizations, is exactly that, helping people get outside of themselves and their own mental framework and how they show up to realize that people are not seeing the world the same way as you.
Right.
They're not interacting with it the same way.
Yeah. And what do you find is the biggest reason that people don't step out and into, you know, what they could, should, I don't like the word should, but, you know, what they can be.
Right. You know what? We just don't know what we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I approach these situations and I approach people and I approach organizations as people are trying to do their best. Their intentions are positive. They're motivated. At least when they start the job, they're motivated. Sometimes we suck it out of them as organizations and leaders, right? That's a different conversation. But I make the assumption that people are trying their best to do the best they can for others. You should see the look on people's faces when we talk about that stuff. Like, there's this attribution error that occurs in many individuals where they believe, in many instances, they see the world differently and they attribute things logically in their life to certain specifics. So, for example, I talk about motivation quite often. And so one of the common attribution errors in motivation is that I'll ask a leader, what motivates you? Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to elevate their self-awareness, but also the awareness of others. And they'll say, look, I'm motivated because I like making a difference or helping people. They go through these very intrinsic things that are really honorable and respectful. So what about your people? What motivates your people? And they just did this shift that, oh, they're motivated by pay, benefit, like this, right? And so I'm thinking, so I unpack that with them and they don't know what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They just assume people are different than them. And they are different than them, but there's certain grounding elements that make us all consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's helping them reframe their perspectives. That's why we have those tenets, is these tenets really push back on some common concepts that one of them is motivation does not equal performance, or enthusiasm does not equal performance, right? These are things that people misattribute because they don't necessarily know better because they haven't unpacked that yet. And once again, we train them for their craft, to be an engineer, to be a marketing person, but we don't often train them and prepare them for this complicated, slippery job of being a leader.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely hear that for sure. So leading with kindness is something that I mean, that's like my go-to thing, is always lead with kindness. But how do you balance the kindness with, you know, real life challenges and having to have what I call courageous conversations, but others call tough conversations.
Yeah.
And learning how to balance that and when to, you know, take out that alter ego of yours and have that, and then put them back in when it's necessary.
Yeah. One of the thoughts, and there's no sequencing to anything that I'm going to say here, but one of the thoughts is skill development. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to have these difficult conversations or courageous conversations for many of us based on our, you know, our personality makeup. And so the opportunity for us is to build skills in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
The other piece of it too is realizing that people want that feedback.
Yes.
People want to know when they're not doing well, when they're not hitting the marks. And what kind of disservice are we providing when we shelter that to protect our insecurities?
That's it.
We chalk it up like, oh, I don't want to damage that relationship with them. That's kind of code for, I don't like how it makes me feel when I have to have a difficult conversation, right? And so I really believe skill development and levels of awareness, both self and social, are really important in this conversation. And many of us have, like, I'm one. I grew up and wasn't very self-aware until some very significant events in my life made some shifts for me.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to be mindful of that too, that.
Yeah.
People we're working, the people we're supporting, the people we're servicing, they have all different experiences in their lives. And part of the challenge too is, what's my readiness to do this against what are my basic needs in my life right now? If I'm in a crisis mode of some level, whether that's you know, maybe I have some food or housing insecurity or something's going on with my children and their safety.
Right.
I'm not really that interested in building new skills to be able to have a difficult conversation with you.
Yep.
Right. Like, so, and it's not because it's not in my heart. It's just, there's more pressing things right now in my heart that I need to work. And so also normalizing that and understanding that with groups to recognize that people are going to be at different points in their life. And just because I organize this big training doesn't mean Fred's going to get anything out of it, because Fred's trying to figure out how he's going to, you know, pay for somewhere to stay tonight for his family.
Yeah. And you said something early on that had me thinking about, you know, how important it is for leaders to pick up on their team's cues, you know, and understanding, like you said, what lights them up, what motivates them, what's a demotivator. Mm-hmm. And these are things that I think some leaders may take for granted, right? Understanding, you know, she's not smiling like she usually does. There could be something wrong here. And not necessarily to tiptoe around that, but to like lean into that and say, are you okay?
Yeah,
I'm fine. That doesn't really seem, you know, what is going on, right? Let's take a walk and really just dive into what it is, not to put the monkey on your back, but to say, hey, I care about you. And this is way more important than work. I want to know how you are. And we just chalk it up to, oh, they said they're fine, you know, and so I'm just going to move on when they're not. And it's going to impact their performance. And then Fred is going to, you know what I mean? And then we're going to have a difficult conversation. And then Fred's going to tell us about how he doesn't know how his family's going to eat tonight. And then you're going to have to take a lot of fucking steps back to say, okay, this doesn't even matter, dude. Let's focus on your life.
Yeah.
So if you could just pick up on that earlier, I think it'll be helpful for you and your team. You know, there's something, what do you think about those subtle cues and what are ways that leaders can better understand? It's emotional intelligence, but like, how do you see it?
Well, it's also being able to sit in the uncomfort, right?
Yes.
And I don't mean sitting in the uncomfort of that other person's experience.
Right.
I mean, like, so one of these things that happens with presenters as well as my students when they have to do a presentation, this is both in class and out of class. If they're not prepared and they're not dialed in, just like if you listen to a work presentation, what happens? Well, the presenter doesn't like the awkwardness of the silence, and they just start filling space with words.
Mm-hmm.
And they're cutting their own legs out in this instance because they're you know, oversharing or, you know, muddying the message, stuff like that. So what can we do? One of the things I've always done and I've believed in is that in order for me to be a leader, I need to be a follower. In order for me to be a teacher, I need to be a student. So I routinely find myself in situations where I try to be a student. That's one of the things we did this fall. We took the whole family. We all got scuba certified. And so over a couple months, we had a real, and my boys are in high school, so they're students to begin with, but we had a student mindset to new content, new information. This is one of the problems that I have with concepts like strengths, is that if we focus too much on our strengths, we're missing a lot of opportunity out there. We're missing even learning about new strengths and interests because we're staying away from those difficult things. And for us, we need to be comfortable in uncertainty, grow that skill so that we can be there better for each other as well as for ourselves. Also, I think when you can sit in that space, and if you're super high strung and intense and fast moving, a planner, 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 controller, controller, controller. Learning that can bring some peace to your life.
Yeah.
Slow you down some so that you can unpack things differently. You could heal differently, things like that. So I really do believe that it's important to develop that, just to be a student, to be a follower, so that we know what it's like for uncertainty, what it takes to learn, you know, how one word doesn't necessarily mean, you know, I think about some of my math teachers in college. Some of them were great, some of them were really challenging, and it's that expert knowledge when we teach and train based off of expert knowledge as opposed to having some sort of andragogy pedagogical approach. Your audience doesn't know what you're talking about, and so it makes sense to that teacher. That calc student, I was like, I have no idea what just happened.
Yeah, that was me in statistics. I was just like, I don't know what this guy is saying, but I'm just going to follow the formula and I'm going to pray to God that I get a C in this class.
Exactly.
I remember that class. I remember every aspect. I could smell the building still as you talk about
it. Yeah, it was the first time that I heard a zero refer to a bagel. And I was like, what the fuck is a bagel? But yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, I'm glad you understand the information, Professor, but I need to understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So in your experience, what are the key factors that separate a highly engaged and thriving workplace, and it could be organization and or departmental, from a workplace or an organization or a department that's struggling with performance and morale?
Compassion and connection are two words that come to mind really quickly, and that's what we try to do. Culture is going to happen by design or default, right? And we encounter a lot of people, I'm sure you do too, that they're like, no, we don't, we're good, we got it. And even when my clients are like, we're good, we got it, I'm like, you know that thing, that roller coaster when you go up to the top? You know it's always going to come down at some point. So when you're riding the wave in life, get ready, you're going to crash at some point, right?
For sure.
And it's very cyclical, right? And so when my clients are saying, no, we got it, we're all good now, I'm like, look, you're one bad hire away. Like,
yeah.
All it takes is, things could be working great in your organization, but are you future-proofed? Are you agile? Are you ready for what's coming into this economy right now? It was just the same thing as COVID. Right now, what we're seeing in organizations on how they're behaving in many organizations is a photocopy of the front end of COVID.
Yes.
Let's just pause and do nothing and just wait to see how this works out. And so they're not building agility. They're not building capacity. They're not building mindset and readiness, right? And so that concept, you're one bad hire away, you know, a lot of leaders take for granted the chemistry of their team.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Despite the leader's practices in many instances. And so you lose one of those key components of that team, just like a sports team. You lose one key player. It doesn't have to be the all-star. It could be the person that's on the bench the most, but pulls the team together. You have a huge hole and a disruption. And then who knows who you're going to pull in, because the hiring process is really precarious. Like, we don't do it well. And then all of a sudden we have a person that's turning our group upside down and dividing, you know, creating cliques and things like that, because we didn't do that front end culture work where we have understanding, appreciation, compassion. And when we do that, it builds a level of readiness and responsiveness for the unknown.
Yeah.
Because people are fear averse, right? Risk averse, change averse in many instances. And it's not that they hate change. It's just, it has to make sense to them. Sometimes
Exactly. We
don't have time to present it in a way to make sense to them. So we need to have them be ready by design, purposeful design, to do this. And this is where that culture by design or default occurs, is that by doing the culture stuff by design, you're future-proofing your organization so people could be more agile and ask for help when they need help and not have fear in the workplace to speak up to prevent the organization from derailing, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I found that you can tell a large group of people some really hard stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say it the right way with the right amount of transparency, they will nod their head and say, okay, I get it. I don't agree, but I get it. And that's power, you know, that's powerful. So what are some practical ways that organizations can future-proof? Yeah. Practicing compassion.
Yeah. Well, as you were just talking about that, having that conversation with a large group and bringing them along, one of the things I think organizations can do and individuals can do, this is much more individual oriented, is build a concept of consistency. If I'm your supervisor and I'm inconsistent, which a lot of supervisors are inconsistent because, and they don't know that they're not getting the feedback to do that. You may not speak up and share. You might not feel like there's psychological safety. You might, you know, we'll find the bodies in the closet when you leave because you were afraid to, you know, bring up the news, right? Whereas if I'm consistent, and if I'm crunchy and consistent, or, you know, joy and loving and consistent, you know how I'm going to react. Am I going to blow off the handle? You know what's coming.
Yeah.
And so building that into your system, in my opinion, that to me is the most important leadership attribute right now, because it will help address a lot of other things. So there's that. It's building that capacity in terms of what is our culture, who are we, and how do we help and support each other? We're not a family. Our workplace is not a family. Let's just be clear. Some families are more dysfunctional than workplaces. I take the approach of we're a community. Like our neighborhood community, I have a decision if I want to cultivate a richer quality neighborhood community. I have the opportunity to cultivate, and this is where I think organizations need to exist in this space, to cultivate more community among the people on these teams. We all don't need to go to work for best friends. Some of us just need to go to work to get that paycheck and to feel like we have some purpose and it gives us meaning in our life.
Right.
So there's not a one-size-fits-all approach here, but how do you learn these beliefs and expectations if you don't ever slow down and talk to people, right? Like, talk about the science of motivation. One of the elements, one of the basic psychological needs is connectedness or relatedness. Mm-hmm. And the tricky thing about this is that a lot of our people in our workplace have strong family units at home and social units at home. They don't need the same level. Like Gallup talks about, do you have a best friend at work? Like, that's not relevant to these people necessarily, because they don't need that peace filled in their life. But a couple people down the hall from them might. Like, so I think about myself. Every time we go to a new university, we're breaking into a new community. We have no family there. And it's hard to break in when other people already have built-in networks, right? And so I need a different level of community and relationships at work to help fill my cup. And so that's one of the things we need to do is navigate this and understand what people need, because the answer is not mandatory fun time, I'll tell you that. But it might be for a select group of people, happy hour, and they invite everyone. And those who want to go, go.
Yeah.
Don't. But maybe one day the person that never goes, they need it. And they decide to go that day because something's going on in their network outside of work. So that is a part of this building capacity is building connection with people. Because now I know who's going to have my back. And the very powerful thing is the relationship between the leader and the subordinates in terms of, look, now I have this, I call it the grease. The culture is the grease to the gears for the difficult conversation you and I are about to have. If culture's high quality and on our side, I'm going to give you some difficult feedback, difficult conversation, accountability. It's going to sting you. Like, it stings everyone, right? For the most part, because we take pride in our work. But you're going to be like, Rob has my back. I know Rob's doing this in the best interest of me and my development and this organization. So it rolls off your back very quickly. You take that element of connection out of this. If you have a low quality culture, we're just at odds with each other. You don't want to hear what I have to say. And you know what I mean? Like, it just, you're talking about having those courageous or difficult conversations. They become a lot smaller steps.
Yes.
And you have a relationship to lean on.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And don't let too much time pass, because for some reason, time passing in those conversations, it just grows. I don't know what happens.
Oh, yeah, resentment.
Right, all the things. The story.
Now it turned out as one. She's always doing this. And you're like, did you talk to her?
Yeah.
Let her know? No.
Yeah. Yeah. So you talk about the human spirit at work, and I love that. And we have policies and procedures on purpose, and they're also needed. So how do you combine the two? And, you know, in your work of consulting, how do you help organizations focus a little bit more on the human spirit versus policy and procedures?
Well, let's start with policy and procedures at a philosophical level. Someone messed up, therefore we have policy and procedures, right?
For sure.
And let's back that up a little further. If we're doing the right work, would we need policies and procedures? Like I said, philosophical. I'm not saying trash this. Here's something else, though, that might be up on the chopping block, in my opinion. Do we need annual performance reviews? I wrote a little thing many years ago on my blog that said, if you're doing the right work, you do not need this at all.
Everyone knows where they are.
Doing the right work, right? Yeah. So it's a part of that that factors into this, that policies and procedures are, you think about, remember like bowling lanes for little kids and they had the
bumpers? Rail?
That's all they are.
Yeah.
The question is are they stifling our performance, our creativity, right?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, because some of these things time out and change. So we need to review them and
regularly.
We need to reduce them. I remember our state at the state level did a major thing several years ago where they took every policy and they reviewed it to try to condense it to where it needed. And they cut things down. I think the number was like 42% of the language was removed from policies, which I think is helpful. So that has to exist. Those are our guide rails. Those are our parameters. But to me, it's what's the tone that the leader's setting and permitting of the people? You know, like, am I a power over leader and I'm instructing you how to feel, how to work, how to behave? Or am I a collaborative leader bringing everyone in, flattening the leadership power distance and say, look, this is our community. While we're in this building or while we're Zooming in together, this is our space, our community. We get to say how we spend our time here.
Yeah.
We know we have work to do. The mistake is, and I think some people get afraid when we talk about culture, I'm not saying people's feelings and interests and socializing is a priority over top of business performance and objectives. I'm saying they both can coexist.
Yes.
And you don't have to sacrifice one over the other.
Right.
And so now we're at this point where organizations that have found that balance are doing really well.
Yep.
They're really healthy. They weathered COVID pretty well. They're going to weather this uncertainty we're getting into a lot better. But those that aren't doing that stuff, it's much more complicated. And then when you don't have that framework to lean on, it's hard to make those quick changes and shifts. Like to your point, some people could just say things to a big group and they buy in and they agree and they understand, but also a lot of people aren't successful in doing that because they don't have respect. They don't have buy-in. They don't have trust, right?
Right.
At least if we've built relationships and you know I'm looking out for you, you don't even have to question my judgment because you know it's in the best interest of you and this team.
Right. Right. I love Simon Sinek, who says leaders know when to break the rules, right? You're not a rule follower just because you're a leader. Like, you have to know when this doesn't make sense. And so for today, these policies and procedures are guidelines, and we're going to go outside the guardrails, and that's okay, you know, because I do think, to your point, some organizations follow it almost like a CBA, right? Like it's a union when it's not. And people need to know that you're going to take their best interests at heart, regardless of what everything else says.
Yeah. And if I could say something else about policies and procedures, a certain type of person finds a lot of comfort in them.
Yeah, for sure. I know that.
And they find power in them. And in some organizations, I've watched how that's how they wield power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really self-serving for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't help things for the organization. Let's take like our university as an example. When there's a policy that's minimizing, like, so when a student has an issue, we turn to the policy to try to provide some guidance.
Sure.
Is the policy always accurate or correct?
No.
Not necessarily. So how do we make this right in terms of what's the best or right thing to do for that student? Right? How can we be student focused instead of saying, well, you know, you can't do that here. You better go somewhere else and kick them down the road to someone else, to some other school. And so my fear is, as it relates to that, is this is a part of our culture and understanding each other is understanding that some people are super sensitive and gatekeepers over policies and a lot of their identities aligned with that. And that serves us really well in many instances, but it doesn't serve us well in other instances.
Right.
And so, but if we don't talk about this, Lorraine's always the pain at the end of the hall, bottlenecking everything because everything's by the policy according to how she's read it, right? Like, and that's not necessarily accurate or true either.
Yeah. Yeah. And not everything has to go through Lorraine.
Because right.
That's my motto. I'm like, I can go through or around. It doesn't matter. But yeah, we all have a Lorraine, you know, and we have to do better at helping Lorraine understand that these are people. If the law is consistently evolving, yeah. I think exactly. That it's okay.
Exactly.
So Rob, my last question is, what is one small but impactful thing that a leader can do today to connect better with their team?
There's so many different things, like getting out of your office, right? Getting together with them. This is a remote work, love it, hate it type of thing, right? There's some definitely baked in limitations here in terms of connection that we're missing. Spending some time with your people and checking in on them. Go down, if you're in the office, go down the hall and check in and see how they're doing. It doesn't have to always be work focused.
Right.
And then there's some people that don't want to talk about themselves at all. Noted. I know that. But they want to talk about the football game last night. Or, you know what I mean? Like, everyone has their interests. And maybe they just want to get further along on this project. Your job there as the leader is to help them, support them with that. So the connection piece is huge. Because this is one of the things I say, and it kind of breaks my heart every time I say it. Just because we're in a relationship outside, like in our personal life, doesn't mean we're not lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we need a number of different people to help fill our cups in most instances.
Yes.
And so we just never know what the people down the hall are needing today.
Yeah. Yeah. And something just came to me when you said remote work. You know, if you are in remote work and you're a leader, I would recommend just opening a bridge for a couple of hours that you're just working and anyone can hop in and out as they need to, just to have that time with you, because remote work is different. But you can open a bridge and, hey, team, this is the link. If you want to chat, I'm here. If you don't, I'm here, you know, and that's cool.
Exactly.
You know, so highly encourage connection. It's my favorite part of the leadership. I love people so much that I just want to know. I just want to know how you're doing, how can I help, and all the things, you know, and I agree with
what you're doing right here.
Yeah. So I love that small yet impactful advice that you have. What are some of your final thoughts?
You know, almost where we started, whose truth is it, right? And does it matter? Is it important for me to be right, or is it important for me to maintain this relationship? Mm. You know, my final thoughts is, let's keep working on us, right? That self-leadership element is going to help us so much. Through that, we can better understand and connect with other people. And then maybe you could help get them interested in it also.
Right, right. Where can people find you online?
They can find me on LinkedIn. Just do a search for Rob Lyon, but the last name is spelled like Lion, L-I-O-N. So just in your search bar, type Rob, R-O-B-L-I-O-N, and you should see me. And there's some content there, but usually highlighting podcasts, blog posts, stuff like that. But you could also visit me on, you could connect with me on my website. It's Black River Performance Management's our company. So the website's actually Black River, the letter P for performance, the letter for management.com. The other one is for URL. And when you get in there, you know, you could set up a meeting with me, no cost, consult, like touch base, unpack, let's chat about something that you heard, discuss. Our models are on there. We have, my wife's had a podcast for several years and that's on there. This is going to be flowing, it flows right into it. I write blogs every once in a while about thoughts, things like what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So little 700 word reflections on a concept, a little bit of science to it, but a little bit of practice to it. So
yeah,
connect with me. I love to connect. And if you actually are interested in some assistance, by all means, don't hesitate to reach out.
Definitely. And all of his links will be in the show notes so that you guys can find them quickly and connect with Rob. I think you have a wealth of knowledge, dude. And I really enjoyed this conversation. I feel like we could have gone for like another hour easily.
Absolutely.
The way we flowed. And I appreciate that. I appreciate thought leaders like you and what you're doing in the world and helping what I call revolution. Thank you so much for being here.
Our communities deserve it. So thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And guys, that ends our episode of Leadership from the Heart. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, Rob's links will be in the show notes. Please like and subscribe. If you felt it, connect with Rob. He's got a wealth of knowledge and he's so humble and grounded about it, which is the best part of it. So I'll see you guys next time on another episode of Leadership.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.